Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We are so glad that you're tuned in with us today. We have a special word we want to share with everyone today. And at some point in the broadcast, we're going to do exactly that. And I want to begin just by saying to the body of Christ, this is what I believe in my heart. Make sure that you continually put on the full or the whole armor of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a very real spiritual battle, and perhaps our carnal mind doesn't like that idea. We want to go on retreat or on vacation or holiday, but the fact of the matter is that wherever we go, as men and women of God, we must always have a vigil or be on the watch, be sober, and not let our guard down. You have to be very, very careful in the days we're living in. The victory that has been given to us is so complete and so awesome. And I mean, we've got it. We have got the victory. The devil cannot do anything to steal the victory from us. But if we're not careful, we could let our guard down and we could take some shots, and we have to be very careful because the enemy of our soul is constantly like a would-be, you know, stalker, a sniper, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a prowler, a lion. You know, he's just that way against the righteous. And so God has called us to put on the whole armor of God, the entire panoply, if you will. That's the Greek word for it, which means it includes the shield, the sword, the lance, the helmet, the greaves, the breastplate. So I just want to put that out to you. We're in a real spiritual battle. Put on the whole armor of God. We are in a race. Make sure you run it to win. We have been called to a high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Keep climbing your mountain. Face your giants, chase the lion, and you know the rest. Just take the bear and the lions down, and just be ready to go. So without further ado, and again, this prophetic word, I just really believe at some point in the broadcast today, I want to share this with our listeners. It is titled Never Quit. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. But before we go any further, let me welcome my dear friend and brother to the broadcast who joins us from Australia, Daniel Seckham. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today, sir?
Good morning, brother. I'm feeling a little bit tired, but all is well. I'm good nonetheless. How are you?
Well, I kind of feel the same way today. It's been an awesome couple of days. We've seen some glorious things happening in the last 36 hours. it's just been awesome. We're having a great time. But today, we become aware of the reality that as Christian men and women, that regardless of what the world looks like, whatever condition or state of affairs it is, that we as Christians on this earth are in a very real spiritual battle, and we're fighting it out, and we've been told to put on the armor. So I'm encouraged to do that today and to call God's army to attention, to get dressed up, because we're going forward. We're pushing and advancing God's kingdom forward in the earth. So may God quicken us as we move forward today, Daniel. So what is it that God has put in your heart to share with the listeners today?
Well, I feel that what would be good would be to share a little bit. Well, first of all, I think it'll be important, first of all, to talk about what has actually been going on over the past 48 hours, because there's been a lot going on. First of all, the big news is that the United States has actually pulled out of the United Nations Security Council, which I think is a masterstroke move. Now, by the way, America had already done that previously under the George Bush administration, but Obama rejoined the United Nations Security Council when he came back into office in 2008. So I think it's a great thing, because Nikki Haley is absolutely right. There is chronic bias against Israel going on at the United Nations, and you really have to be a blind Freddy to say that's not the case. So that's great news. In other news, Hamas is actually stirring the pot. Yep.
Daniel, before you go any further, you know what you just said is huge. I did not hear that. When did that actually happen, that we pulled out of the UN Security Council?
About 12 hours ago.
12 hours ago. And my gosh, so pulling out of the UN Security Council, is that a departure from the United Nations in totality?
No.
Okay.
Not in totality. Yeah, but it is a significant step in withdrawing in totality, because I think that is definitely warranted. But Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo and Nikki Haley have made it absolutely clear that being part of the UN Security Council is a waste of time. Not only are they extremely one-sided in their condemnation of Israel, but they appoint human rights abusers to the Human Rights Council. You know, Saudi Arabia. I mean, you know, they appoint all these well-known human rights abuses to the Human Rights Council, and yet they condemn Israel. And it's just the most stunning, hypocritical organization that you could ever find. But we know that there is a satanic element behind the United Nations. There's no surprises there. We know, we've read the book, you know, spoiler alert, you know, the nations gang up against Israel in the last days. That's exactly what's going to happen. So it should not surprise us that the United Nations is becoming extremely virulently anti-Israel, and will continue to do so until it actually mobilizes all the nations to confront Israel.
And again, the spoiler alert, it's already been written. And I would imagine that anybody that supports Israel would become the enemy of the global world government in the last days.
Yes, and that's exactly correct, because at the moment, I mean, there's a lot of nations that would love to swat Israel like a, you know, they would love to be able to gang up on Israel and do to it what is in their evil hearts to do. But, of course, they cannot do so while America isn't in existence. So America stands in the way. Yep.
Okay, let me ask you this. Now, if America has pulled out of the UN Security Council, that means that they have no decision-making power as far as global government is concerned. How does that kind of affect things?
Well, they, even though they've pulled out of the Security Council, even if they do make condemnations toward Israel, it's still not going to have any particular effect. I mean, even if the United Nations Security Council pass a motion in which there needs to be some military action taken against Israel, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, seriously. But here's the thing. While the United States is in existence, while the United States is strong, while the United States is like the global cop on the global community, I mean, they can't do anything. They won't do anything. I mean, they would have to be crazy if they were going to do something that would cross the United States. Now, but that said, let me just say this. At the moment, Israel looks to the United States in kind of like the same way that ancient Israel looked to Egypt. Remember when, you know, how God rebuked Israel because they looked to Egypt? He says, why are you looking to Egypt? They can't help you. They can't save you. You know, he says, I am your helper. I am your savior. Don't look to them, you know. And what eventually happened, I mean, Egypt got taken out of the way and they had no one else to cry out to except God. And that's exactly how it's going to be in these last days. Remember what Jesus said to them. He said, as he was going in on the donkey, as he was going in on Palm Sunday, he said, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they are going to be in a position where they're going to be able to cry out to no one else except God. That's going to be a really difficult position for them. It's going to be very, very painful for them because, as Jesus warned, he says there's coming a time where there is going to be so much suffering and so much hardship that there'll never, ever be any other time like it. And the prophet Jeremiah saw this when he said, can a man give birth? Then why do I see every man clutching onto his abdomen like a woman about to give birth with his face deathly pale? Mm. There is a time of trouble in store for Jacob, but she will be Jacob will be saved out of it. So we know that there is a time of great trouble that is looming. And we can understand that that we know the nations that will be responsible for doing that. Now, some people say, well, now, because Daniel, I think it's 9:26, says that the prince that is to come will be of the people who destroyed the temple and the holy city. So who were the people of the prince who destroyed the temple and the holy city? Well, it was the Romans. It was the Romans. So does that mean that it will be Rome that will come and destroy Jerusalem and the temple that is to come? Well, let's have a closer look at that scripture. Now, the Hebrew for that is Am-Nagid. Am-Nagid. So what that's saying is that's the people of the prince. However, there are a bunch of different ways in which you can refer to people in Hebrew. So first of all, there's Goyim, which means nations, which is generally referred to Gentile nations, Goyim. Then you have Mamlacha. Mamlacha means kingdom, or Mamlachahim, which means all kingdoms, or in other words, empires. But then you have this other word, which is just simply Am. Now, whenever you see Am in Hebrew, it's referring to the ethnicity of the people. It's referring to the ethnicity of the people. So what it's saying is that the ethnicity, the literal ethnicity of the people, that's what it's referring to. Now, let me give you a bit of an example. Now, Paul the Apostle, you might remember when he that time in the book of Acts where they were threatening to flog him. And he said, but I'm a Roman citizen. And they said, and the centurion said, well, I had to pay a big price for mine. How did you get yours? He says, and Paul says, well, I was born a Roman citizen. So we know, now, here's the thing. Paul's mamlaka, I know this is a bit of his mamlaka, in other words, his mamlaka identity is the fact that he is Roman, okay? That is of the empire that he belongs to. He belongs to the Roman Empire in the sense that he's a Roman citizen. But here's the thing. The fact that his ethnicity is Jewish. Paul is a Jew. He is a Pharisee. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. He was schooled in the way of Gamaliel. So he is a Jew. So we need to understand this is what it's referring to. Now, here's the fascinating thing about that. At that particular time, with the general Titus and his Roman armies, 4% of the Roman armies that attacked Jerusalem in 69 AD were of Italian descent. Just 4%. That is the top layer of the leadership of the Roman armies that destroyed Jerusalem. The rest of the 96% were all made up of provincial soldiers. Now, you know where they sourced their soldiers from? All of the surrounding nations. Mm-hmm. They were predominantly all Arabs. They sourced them from Egypt. They sourced them from Jordan, the area of Jordan, in Transjordan. They sourced them from places like Syria in particular. These were the people. These are the the ethnicity of the people that destroyed the city of Jerusalem in AD 70 and the Holy Temple. So there you go.
Yeah, so in other words, Rome, as the global head, had its proxies that actually went to war. And I was actually under the understanding that the reason why, when they went in with Titus and who was leading these armies, the proxy armies of the Middle East, like the Syrians and, you know, whoever they were, they already had a vehement hatred for Israel. That's why they burned the temple to the ground and they sacrificed a pig, and that even they were not supposed to burn it to the ground, the temple. Yeah. And the Roman, government in Rome was actually saying, no, no, no. But these guys had such hatred because they were the half brothers, right? They were what we would call the Islamic world today.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And just on a side note, I just want to read something to you really interesting. This is from Dr. Bruce L. Shelley from his book, Church History in Plain Language. And he says this. He says, in AD 66, the Jews revolted, signaling their intent by refusing to perform the daily sacrifice for the emperor. As one account describes it, the tragic, bloody war that followed cost more lives than any previous conflict. The Jews held out against overwhelming odds for 4 years. So that happened in AD 66, okay? But they could not withstand the power of Rome. In AD 70, Emperor Vespasian's forces, led by Titus, broke through the walls of Jerusalem, looted and burned the temple, and carried off the spoils to Rome. The holy city was totally destroyed. In the reprisals that followed, every synagogue in Israel was burned to the ground. Now listen to this. This is fascinating. At the start of the revolt, okay, now this is before the six Roman legions surrounded the city of Jerusalem. It says, at the start of the revolt, the leaders of the Jerusalem church were advised in a vision to flee the city. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, that's connected to what Jesus told them, when you see these things.
Exactly, exactly. It says, at the start of the revolt, the leaders of the Jerusalem church were advised in a vision to flee the city. Pious Jews consider the Christian flight an act of treason. and it sealed the fate of the church in the Jewish world with the decision to bar Christian Jews from synagogue services. Some years later, the break was complete. I just think it goes on to say any Jew who wished to remain faithful to his religion could not also be a Christian. The new faith had become, or would be for many centuries, a Gentile movement. It's very interesting how that had happened at that particular time. So Jesus warned them. And this is the thing that we need to understand, because preterists, and when I say preterists, I'm referring to partial preterists. These are the people who believe that the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, 25, Luke 21, mm-hmm. Mark 13, and the entire book of Revelation was already fulfilled with AD 70, with the sacking of Jerusalem. They believe that the book of Revelation was all about AD 70. They believe that Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13 is all about AD 70. Now, let me just say this, that they are right to a certain extent, because a lot of the prophecies that Jesus talked about, the earthquakes in various places, the wars and rumors of wars, the kingdom rising against kingdom, you'll be handed over and you'll be persecuted, you'll be brought before governors and synagogues and you'll be whipped. All these things that Jesus said in Matthew 24 actually did happen in the lead up to AD 70. But here's the thing. It was a partial fulfillment. It was a foreshadowing. It wasn't the full fulfillment. And this is where people need to understand the concept of pattern prophecy. Pattern prophecy is one of the most important things that people need to understand, especially people who are keen into understanding biblical prophecy. Because what God does, and he does it for a number of different reasons. Firstly, the reason why he does pattern prophecy is because it's a very, very clear way how he can get the prophets to actually write about something that's actually happening in their time. But God still uses them as they're writing about that particular thing that's happening in their time as a future fulfillment that is to happen at the end of the age. Let me give you an example. Isaiah 13. Now, Isaiah 13, if you were to read it, you know that it's actually talking about Babylon, right? Mm-hmm. Isaiah is prophesying about what was going to happen with Babylon. Yet, when you read closely, it's also talking about the end of the age. There's apocalyptic language in there as well. So there is a dual fulfillment going on there, a partial fulfillment. And the reason why that you know that it's a partial fulfillment and not a complete fulfillment is for the simple reason that not all of the aspects of the prophecy were fulfilled. Let me give you an example. Let's look at Matthew 24. So we see wars and rumors of wars. We hear about earthquakes in diverse places. Jesus said, in Luke 21, it says, and you see the army surrounding Jerusalem, you know that this desolation is near. Now, were all those things fulfilled? Yes, they were, but it's not the final fulfillment, because the final fulfillment talks about the Son of Man coming on the clouds of glory with great power, and all the nations of the earth will mourn, and then he sent his angels to gather the elect from the four corners of the earth. Did that happen in AD 70? No, of course it didn't. Of course it didn't. And that's why how we know that that it was a partial fulfillment with AD 70. But the final fulfillment of the Olivet Discourse scriptures is coming. It's coming in the future when Jesus comes back. And that's going to be an exciting time.
So, yeah, with all of these things said, and that's a great history lesson, by the way, because the whole paradigm of the revived Roman Empire, people are looking over to the European continent and they're looking at the Vatican as the false prophet. They're looking at the, the Caesar worship of, governmental power, et cetera, et cetera, in Rome. In the meantime, there's a wild man on the loose. It's so close to Bible prophecy because the end is revealed from the beginning, and at the beginning of Israel's existence, the attack from Ishmael was there, you know, against Isaac. And so we have this persecution coming from a particular seed, and it is funny how we just kind of throw things off onto something else, and yet the Bible's very clear. So you were getting ready to talk a little bit about Hamas as well, after the exiting of the UN Security Council by the United States. You were going to bring up something about Hamas, and how does the Islamic Middle Eastern Muslim invasion line up with Scripture as you understand it?
Well, the writings on the wall, I mean, it's so, again, I don't know how people can honestly say that all the Antichrist forces are going to be coming out of Rome. I just think it's extremely, my goodness. I mean, the Jews are fleeing Europe, not because they're being persecuted by Rome, but because they're persecuted by Islam. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is so crystal clear. I mean, the nations that are frothing at the mouth that want to destroy Israel are not coming from the Vatican. It's coming from these Islamic nations, the Muslim nations that are surrounding Israel. When you read Psalm 83, it's clear when you look at the nations that are being named as the nations that will be attacking Israel, they're all Muslim nations. They're all Islamic nations. And the Islam, they're not shy about hiding this. I mean, they are shouting it from the rooftop what they want to do to Israel, especially the infamous hadith where it says that in the last days, the slaughter in the land will be that great that the rocks and the trees will cry out and say, "Oh Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him." So that's very, very sobering to say that, but that's what the Muslims believe. They believe that the time will soon come when they will have their revenge and they will slaughter the Jews in the land. And as the hadith says, that even the rocks and trees will cry out and say, "Oh Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him." And of course, that's ridiculous that the rocks and trees would ever do that, but that's what they believe that their own hadith says. That's why that the head of Hezbollah said, and not just the head of Hezbollah, but there's also a Hamas official also said this, as well as a Jordanian imam who said this about 4 months ago. Sorry, 3 months ago. And they all said this. They said that they can't wait, or they look forward to the day when all the Jews from all over the world leave their nation, their countries, to come and live in Israel. They want all the Jews all over the world to leave their to come back to Israel, because it will save them from having to hunt them down all over the earth to kill them. Mm-hmm. They would rather them gather all in one place where they can kill them all in one place without having to hunt them down all over the earth. Isn't that sobering?
No, it absolutely is. And I think we need to stay on track with this. Maybe you could join me for a moment. I want to get over to Daniel chapter 7, because I'm looking at verse 25, and I'm kind of connecting the dots here with 2 Thessalonians as you're talking, because, again, you know, not to just embellish anything, but I believe that deception in the day that we're living in is to create this confusion. And that's why it's so important we have our understanding and light and truth coming from the Word of God that is inspired by God. And we're told in Thessalonians that let no man deceive you. A couple of things have to happen. And of course, the deception is that this man of sin, this lawless man of sin, is got to be revealed. He has to be revealed. And I'm looking at Daniel 7:25, and you've probably done a lot of study on this, but it actually tells us, and we'll connect the dots here, I hope, that he shall speak great words against the Most High. This is talking about the lawless one, and shall wear out the saints. And that word wear out there literally means to harass constantly through mental affliction. So the mental affliction of this evil one that's coming. So he'll wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. Now, I don't believe that the Roman Empire is changing any laws that would significantly challenge, you know, things the way they are today. But there is in the Islamic world the Sharia law reality, and this changing of laws. Does that kind of resonate with you as far as how this connects to the decrees, the laws of Allah?
Yeah, absolutely. Because Muhammad divided the world into two spheres. So you have Da'al Harb and Da'al Islam. So Da'al Islam is simply referring to all the Muslim countries, the Muslim world. These are the Muslim nations that are already under Sharia. However, the nations that are not under Sharia are called Da'al Harb, which translates from Arabic to the house of war. Now, Muhammad said that he would be perpetually at war. He commanded his followers to be perpetually at war with these Da'al Harb nations until they proclaimed the unity of Allah. And that's exactly how it is. So there will be continual warfare until every nation on the earth says the Shahada, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. So that's what we're looking at in regard to that. And yes, whenever Islam takes over a nation, it installs the Sharia, it changes the laws. But Daniel in verse 25 says he will not only attempt to change the laws, but he will also change the set times. And here's the other thing about that. Whenever a nation falls to Islam and they adopt Sharia, they also change their calendar. Isn't that fascinating? So they change it from the Gregorian Western calendar to observing the Muslim calendar. And by the way, the Muslim calendar begins, the very first day of the Muslim calendar begins from when Muhammad fled from Mecca to Medina. So that is what every Muslim country has happened to. You know, keep in mind, Iran used to be 50% Christian and 50% Zoroastrian. Afghanistan used to be Buddhist. Lebanon used to be Christian, yet all these nations fell to Islam. And they were all using the Christian calendar. And what happened after that? Well, they then are using the Muslim calendar now. So this is what we can expect with the Antichrist when he comes and he reigns.
And so the promotion is that when he changes times, I was looking at the Hebrew for times there, and it's literally like we get for the feast days. It literally refers to set times, holy times, or feast days. And so, for example, rather than celebrating Shavuot or Passover or Pesach or the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, they'll be celebrating Ramadan. They're actually changing, you know, these types of things to fit into their way of life. And, you know, I was talking last week about how the United States until 1962 upheld certain laws to protect our society from abortion, homosexuality, pornography. And then basically in 1962, those laws were taken out of the way and we saw lawlessness come into our country. Now we're 80 million abortions down the road, men marrying men, et cetera, et cetera. The nation is saturated with pornography, and so the law was taken out of the way. So how does that connect with the lawless one, and the one that's going to come and remove the laws of Yahweh, the laws of righteousness, and actually promote laws of corruption? Or, you know, how does that work between the Islamic thing we're talking about and what we've actually seen in our own country?
Yeah. Keep in mind that when you see lawless one, it's not referring to the law of Moses. It's not referring to the laws of, the law of Christ. It's not referring to it. It's basically all law, including natural law, you know, like this Antichrist, this coming Antichrist will rebel against all law, you know, whether it be the civil law, common law, whether it be, you know, natural law. He would be completely a man of great rebellion in inverting everything. And, you know, he will be a man that will invert Christianity, like he would take the opposite to Christianity in every possible way. So that's what we can expect with this man of lawlessness. And we're kind of starting to see a lot of different lawlessness that's going on around in the country. Like, I was really shocked the other day, yesterday, when I saw a picture where there was a little girl and she had I think it was a baseball bat or a stick or something, and there was a piñata that she was bashing, and the piñata was in the shape of an ICE policeman, like a border patrol policeman. And this is a result of what has happened with what the mainstream media are complicit in demonizing law enforcement and encouraging lawlessness. And this is why all this hatred of the police is going on, because there is this spirit of lawlessness that's going on at the moment.
A spirit of lawlessness, which is really the advancement of what is about to make land fall. Now, we're living at a time where we're seeing a lot of great stuff happening in our country. We're seeing that the Trump administration is moving forward and doing some amazing things. There's just no doubt, including pulling out a Security Council. I mean, he's really moving things in a particular direction. We're seeing the peace treaties. We've talked about that. You know, is this a time? And I know the answer to this. It's kind of rhetorical that we're saying it, but is this a time for Christians to put their guard down and start singing, you know, the happy days again? Or are the events that are happening certain sure signs from God, like you said earlier, that in the days of Yeshua, that the disciples were getting visions that they needed to go to the mountains? And in Jeremiah's day, when Jeremiah's crying out and pleading with the nation, you know, they were doing all their business with the foreign nations, and they were saying, no, things are going to be okay. So it didn't look like dire straits at the moment. But then again, the sudden destruction comes. How do you line things up for where we really are from your bottom of your heart? Where do you see everything at this moment, in this confusing, darkened moment?
Well, I would say don't keep your eyes off Jesus. I think now is a very, very critical time to be as sensitive to the Holy Spirit as you possibly can. Don't keep your eyes off. Don't take your eyes off Jesus in these days that we're living in at the moment. So I just want to read you one particular passage, which I think is pertinent in regard to these last days. And of course, it's from 1 Thessalonians. And it says that while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So I think it's important to know that, you know, there will be a time when there's great peace and there's great safety and everyone can relax, you know, but we cannot guard in regard to that. We need to constantly be vigilant in our relationship with God, listening to the voice of the Spirit, and being a people of prayer. We need to be watching and we need to be praying. It is absolutely critical, and we cannot lower our guard down and be frivolous and be carefree in our Christian walk. We need to be as vigilant as we possibly can in these last days, and we need to be encouraging others to do the same.
Amen. Now, Daniel, with that being said, what I'd like to do, I want to read a prophecy. It was a word of encouragement, basically, an exhortation to the body of Christ. And right on the heels of what you just said, and then we'll comment on this. Just give me a few moments to get this word out. And I would ask our listeners to pay very special attention to these words. I believe they came right directly from the Holy Spirit. And then we'll talk about this. The title of this word was Never Quit. Never Quit. The words that I speak, they are truth and they are life. I am the God of abundance. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and ways above your own. Think higher, my people, think higher. For I have said that you must think on things above and not on things of the earth. Your preoccupation with the world is drawing you away from me. You seek signs and wonders in the earth rather than signs and wonders in the heavens. The heavens are far above the things you see with your natural eyes. They are without limitation. The things of the earth are subjected to futility and are frail. The things of the earth are natural, temporal, and mortal. But I have called you to the spiritual, eternal, and immortal life. The God of the world has blinded the minds of those who have not believed. The world is propped up by false imaginations, deceptions, lies, and a tremendous amount of trickery. The illusion of reality has been mistaken for truth, but in fact is a lie. Have you not seen the hopes of people being moved by every report they hear? Have you not noticed that man's words are what move the masses? Have I not said in my word that the whole world is deceived by the evil one? Again, the whole world is under the sway of evil. But not so with you, beloved. I have given you light for your journey. You have been poured into. You have been given the golden oil for the day in which you live. I say to you now, do not fall asleep, for it is time to arise. It is time to awake unto righteousness. Trim your lamps, beloved, for the midnight hour is come. You will need your lights to burn brightly at this time of spiritual darkness and wickedness. Many false spirits have been loosed in the earth with an organized plot to sweep away my people. Lie after lie is being sent forth to consume the minds of my people to lead them into darkness. Compromise is on the rise, and the gates have opened to the enemy. He has entered in without notice and has ravaged the unsuspecting. Where are the shepherds? Where are the pastors of my flock? I say to the pastors, arise and guard the flock of my inheritance. Speak up and against all compromise. Raise the standard. Many have been diseased and wounded by the wolves and serpents. I will hold the pastors accountable. I have said in my word that the elders are to give an account for the souls of my people. You have allowed the voice of the world to seduce you into silence. You have become weary in the battle and have left off your responsibility to guard the flock. I call you now to return to your post. Take the rod of authority and drive away the beast. Drive out the evil spirits that have invaded the flock. Reach for the oil of my anointing and give it out to the sheep and lambs, for their wounds are grievous. Seek not position or power among men. Condescend to service and to men of low estate. Forsake all once again and fulfill your calling. Return to your first love. Remember your passion to serve me and to tend to the flock of my inheritance. You were willing in those days to lay your life down for the sheep, but have become dull in your service and have felt unappreciated and misunderstood. I have not called you to be understood by men or appreciated by my flock. I have called you to love and guide my people into my everlasting kingdom. I have entrusted to your care the most valuable of all my possessions. I have given you the responsibility to care for the souls of my people. I have not called you to favoritism or to respect of persons, nor have I told you to admire the person of any. I have called you to guide under my hand of provision. I have called you to look to me and respond to me only. I have not called you to follow formulas or traditions. I tell you this day that if you guide with men's admiration in mind, you will taste the bitter fruits of failure, and the blood of many will be upon your hands. For these days are evil. Wicked devices and clever schemes have been planned out for the destruction of my flock. To you about the highest value in the created universe. I am telling you that those who have received my name and have accepted my spirit within them are my inheritance. These must be guarded at all costs. You will not be able to lead them and guide them and protect them by formulas in this day. You must gather together my flock and lead them into their high calling. You must lead them upward and onward. You must lead them out of danger. I have called you and equipped you, my pastors, with spiritual understanding and spiritual anointing. In order to lead my people, you must not lead in the flesh. You must not guide with the thoughts of the natural mind. You must lead and guard with the weapons of warfare that are effective for the pulling down of spiritual strongholds. Know this day that many of my people will not be able to persevere through the times that lie ahead because they have not been sheltered in a proper way. I have given you a spiritual covering with that will enable all who come under your care to not only survive but prosper and grow into shepherds themselves and warriors and kings. I am saying that there is a guard about you that has been commissioned to protect those under your care. Your love for me will be translated into a vital and genuine love for my people. They will know it and will willingly yield to your counsel and direction. You will prosper by the wool they give and will have exactly what I have given you through them. I say these things to bring your mind and thoughts back to what is important. It is not important that you be heard or seen by men in the world. It is not important that you become great in the eyes of men. No. What is important is that you know each soul that has come to you and has been by the leading of my spirit in order that you may care for them. However, not all that is among you at this time is of me. For it is written that while men slept, the enemy sowed seed in the field. It is also written that evil men slipped in among you. Fear not these adversaries, for they will either become a possession of my flock or will come under severe punishment by me. I am able to remove with a stroke of my hand. What is the higher way? It is heaven. It is the above life. It is my flock walking upon the earth while being seated with me. It is all the fruits of my spirit manifesting in every soul. It is the all-encompassing bond of love filling the hearts and minds of my people. To the apostles of this new day, I have given you a day wherein the powers of my kingdom are being released in you for the overthrow of the satanic kingdom. I have raised you up for the purpose of displaying my power among the nations. You must be filled with love. You may not rule my flock with a rod of iron, for the rod of iron is reserved for the rule over the nations. You are not to fleece my flock. I know your need for finances, and I will provide as you lovingly show my strength to the flock. I want you to focus on the 99% of the people who are fellowshipping in the joy of the Lord. Too often the message has been concerning Ananias and Sapphira, yet these were only two among thousands that were dealt with severely. You have been called to build up my people. The majority of my flock are in transition and are becoming sheep. Their transition is vital. My body is coming to maturity in this day, and you have been granted the responsibility of seeing the work finished. For this is the seventh day, the day of perfection, completion, and a finished work. You have no time to look at the clock. You have no time to look at things which do appear to be a certain way. I have given you divine power to accomplish this work in my people. Through the anointing I have placed within you corporately, my body will be complete. You must see it as I see it. You must see the gathering together of the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. I say to the apostles that if you do not have power to match your words, you must humble yourselves until it is so. For I have determined to know not the words, but the power among you. Understand your part in this building. To my prophets, you are the voice through which all my flock shall be lifted up and encouraged. I have given you a special ability to express my heart and have put fire in your bones in order that you may ignite the fire in the hearts of my people. It is time for your fire to come out of your mouths. You are issuing forth the witness of the new day. You have spoken and have proclaimed the third day, and this is good and this is right. Yet I will have you to pour forth more. I have given you this day to declare, for it is right. Therefore, hold not back. Do not say in your heart, the message has lost its savor. Beware that it is not you who have lost the savor, for the message is salted and ready to fill the earth. You have faced many obstacles and have overcome much, but I say to you that it is time to spread the message throughout the world, on radio, TV, magazines, and every pulpit around the world. For truly, this is the day of resurrection power, and my people must awake to this reality. But they must hear the trumpet sound long and hard. You are my trumpet in the earth. Look not to the left or right. Seek not to know what others are saying, but speak what I have put in your heart. Do not be embarrassed or afraid to speak, for this is your calling. With the third day, I have given you much to proclaim and will continue to open up the mysteries. To my handmaidens, you are the nurses within my flock. You are called to cherish me in my body. You are the hands through which I will touch those who are in need. You are the voice of comfort among my people. You are my willing vessels through whom I will proclaim signs and wonders in the earth. I say to you this time to put on your holy garments, for I am coming to you. Put on your white garments, for you are my virgins in the earth. Your hearts are pure. I say to the pure-hearted that you will see me in this day, for I am coming to you in many forms, and you will know by the visitations that I have been among you. Through you I will accomplish many things, and the hearts of many will be revealed. Your reward in this hour will be great joy. You will need this joy as you walk among my people, for many are weary and ready to give up. Your smile will bring healing. To the rest I say, you will surely know that I have worked among you through my servants. You will grow with Godspeed. You are living in the season of the twinkling of an eye. Your changes are going to be rapid and swift as you submit to my authority. You are going to increase in spiritual maturity and wealth. I have determined that wealth and well-being will be your meat. Through you, I will feed my servants, yet you will have an abundance to share. Look and see if what I say is not so. In a very short time, I am going to lead you and guide you into the fields of abundance in a new workplace. I am going to give you the ability to gain wealth. You are going to find favor in the eyes of men, and they are going to give you much. Truly, you will be fruitful boughs. I have loved you, O my people, with an everlasting love. Our time draws near that we will embrace one another. My heart is passionate for you, and my longings run deep. I am intimately bound to you forever. My presence will be known to you in an ever-increasing way as your affections for me increase and abound. Together we will run to and fro throughout the earth. I have so much to show you. Hold tight to your course, beloved, and be not swayed your head higher than it has ever been. And hear clearly this word and hold it until the race is over. Listen, never quit. And I say again, never, ever quit. Brother Daniel, I just felt a need to share that word with the body of Christ today to, you know, put things in order in this very amazing time. And I just pray that God's people will be strong in this hour and that we'll have such a clear vision for the Lord that we'll be able to navigate through the storms that lie ahead.
Amen. That was a very, very encouraging word. And it just reaffirms the words of Jesus, that he who stands firm to the end shall be saved. He who stands firm to the end shall be saved. You know, when we look at the letters that Jesus wrote to the seven churches, you know that seven times Jesus said to him who overcomes, you know, to him who overcomes, I will give this. To him who overcomes, they'll eat some of the hidden manna. To him who overcomes, I will write their name on a white stone. To him who overcomes, they will sit with me on my throne. To him who overcomes, seven times he says that. You know, this is saying to those who overcome, to those who will stand firm to the end. And this is what we need to encourage ourselves, because we're going to need lots of encouragement, because, you know, the days that are coming up are going to be tough, you know. It's not going to be easy, and this is why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and we need to encourage one another as much as we can. Jesus said, work while you have daylight. Night is coming when no man can work. And that's exactly what we need to do. While we have daylight, we need to work what we can. We need to do what we possibly can for Christ and for his kingdom. Because once the moment nighttime comes, we're not going to be doing much at all, you know. And so this is what we need to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching.
Amen. And, you know, you go back to Daniel 7:25, and this in the last days, this lawless one is going to wear out the saints. And then you read in Revelation 13 that this beast, this man of sin is going to wear out the saints. I mean, it's constantly, and what men and women of God need to know is that this wearing out is the continual, constant harassment and affliction against your mental being, part of your being. So it is mental warfare to exhaust the mind, to somehow get the mind to relax or to drop its guard or to give up or to just get exhausted and no longer be in the battle. And we know, being in ministry, that a lot of the saints of God, they get weary in their minds and they get weary in well-doing. So the admonition is, don't allow yourself to be weary in well-doing. Keep doing what is right and get your mind strong and put the helmet of salvation on. Keep your mind protected, because it's the mind that the devil is really pointing at to destroy.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you're absolutely right that the Satan will want to wear us down in these last days. You know, I oversee two websites, you know, Israel Islam and End Times, and the other one, Culture War Resource. You know, like the amount of stories that I see every day. It's just like, oh my goodness, like they are coming thick and fast and they're growing more and more numerous and greater in their intensity. Like the level of deception that we're seeing is coming more extreme. The craziness and the madness that is gripping the nations, especially the West, is becoming more and more stunning to behold. And I just think, my goodness, I'm just getting weary of sharing all this stuff because it's just becoming more and more. Like, this is exactly what the devil's strategy is. It's to wear down the saints of God. You know, I know of a bunch of different people who used to be very passionate about speaking out, but, you know, they eventually got worn down because, you know, they had opposition, and as a result of that opposition, they're no longer speaking out anymore, which is a real shame. But, you know, this is how they gradually wear us down, you know, and the devil knows these tactics. And this is, you know, I mean, you just have to read Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, where it says that never let up. You know, one of the other rules for radicals was to hold them to their own rules, hold them to their own standard. In other words, you know, apply great pressure to the enemy and never let up. This is what the enemy is going to try and do to us. Mm-hmm. They're going to try and wear us down as much as they possibly can in every possible way. So we need to be aware of that. And this is why we need to keep in mind there's a very important principle of rest that we see in the scriptures, where God wants us to take the time to rest. And we need to be ever mindful of that, especially in these last days. We need to have physical rest, but we also need to have rest for our soul and rest for our within our spirit. You know, we need to have rest with our family. You know, that's going to be especially pertinent within these last days, because the devil, if he can stress us out, if he can get us up late night after night after night when we're emotionally fragile and emotionally raw, then he's going to have the upper hand. We need to make sure that we're looking after ourselves, making sure that we're getting the rest that we need so that we can fight these battles as they come.
Well, amen. And that is the great encouragement. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, you who are weary and heavy laden and burdened, right? He said, come unto me and rest, mm-hmm. and find this rest for your soul. So that's Matthew 11:28, by the way. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And, you know, in Revelation 13, Daniel, it says again that this, and I'm reading out of verse 7, it was given unto him, this beast, this man of sin, this lawless one, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And I believe that the way that there's going to be an overcoming, maybe physical to a degree with war, but also the overcoming of the mind, that the mind will eventually give in. And one of the things that really stunned me about the word apostasy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about there'll be a great falling away. We all know that word is apostasy, but when you look at that word a little bit deeper, you know, on the surface, it means defection from the truth or a forsaking. But when you go a little bit deeper into that word, apostion, it literally means a divorce. And, you know, people's minds are going to give up. And what happens in a marriage when people's minds give up, when they're no longer involved in the relationship, they start looking in other directions, and God won't tolerate that. So we've got to keep our course, maintain our direction. And Brother Daniel, may God strengthen you, give you sweet sleep tonight and good rest. And when you wake up tomorrow, be full of energy and power and get ready to run again. God bless you, my brother. Shalom.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
You're always such an honor. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've just run out of time today. I want to encourage you, go to Daniel Seckham's website. Just type in his name, Israel, Islam, and End Times. Make sure you get out there. Look at his videos. The man has worked and labored very hard to bring some good revelation, understanding, so that we can be fully equipped. Do you realize that everything we do is unto the Lord and for the purpose of fully equipping the body of Christ? Fully equipping for the days that lie ahead. Make sure that you enter into some rest. Get to a good Bible study tonight. Get around the Word of God. Let the Word of God feed you, encourage you, build you up. Get around the saints of God. Come together. Let your mind be healed. Let your memories be healed. Yourself ready. Man, we're going into a great big battle, and I declare victory in every one of our lives. I'm Vincent Xavier. Got to go. See you tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, shalom.